always remembering the verses of the Quran, like الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَبَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ, those who, when they are afflicted by calamities,
yes,
they say إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, or the verse لَكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْا عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ, mm-hmm, and so on and so forth.
Yes.
So this is the point that when you are, connected to the Noble Book of Quran, for sure it will bring you many positive effects.
Yes.
And when it comes to some psychological and mental problems, as a general concept, not only recitation of the Quran, the whole concept of iman and faith help the people to reduce their anxieties,
yes,
and stresses. This has been proved scientifically, but by not only the Muslim scholars.
Mm-hmm.
Scholars from different beliefs,
mm-hmm,
even Christians or different followers of other religions, they have proved that those people who are believers, they believe in God. When it comes to their psychological problems, they have more power to get rid of those problems,
yes,
because of the fact that they believe in a supreme power that is God.
IRIB English Radio presents Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Answering your theological questions in Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Send us your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
Praises to Allah, all glory to Allah, we worship Allah and no one but Allah.
It's been mentioned by great, mm-hmm, psychologists like, for example, William James, the famous American philosopher and psychologist, that for sure faith is the, yes, most effective cure for problems like anxiety. So this is the fact that, people who are believers, we are talking about the Noble Book of Quran.
Yes.
Even when they suffer from some psychological problems, gradually they are able to get rid of that. For,
mm-hmm,
example, first of all, they are usually trained and, they are grown in a religious family. So from early childhood, they feel this religious atmospheres,
yes,
of the house.
Yes.
And second of all, for example, sometimes some people suffer from some psychological problems after committing some sins.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do not believe in God and you commit a sin, maybe gradually you will suffer from despair and other problems. But if you are a believer in God, always you know that you have the chance and opportunity to do tawbah, to,
yes,
regret and repent and come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will be forgiven. So this is my point, that those people who are believers, they have many reasons to get rid of these problems, including the psychological,
yes,
problems. And one of the best ways is, of course, reciting the Quran,
right,
and listening to it.
We could see nowadays, for example, on social media, so many footage of the people who converted to the religion of Islam because of listening to the text,
exactly,
of the Holy Quran, the recitations. Even there was a beautiful footage, of a lady who, she was a singer,
mm-hmm,
and when she converted to Islam, she started reciting the Holy
Quran,
now using her voice to recite the Holy Quran. It shows that all the materials and the poems on one scale, and the Holy Quran, the bigger one, and the important significance of this on the other scale for her. So for sure, it has soothing effect on minds and soul, but with contemplation, understanding the meaning, I think the soothing effect will be more even than the mere recitation.
Yeah, sure. There are many stories about great reciters of the Quran, especially the famous ones coming from Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that tens of the people converted to the religion of Islam, after just listening to one recitation by, for example, Abdul Basit or Mustafa Ismail Minshawi and the other great famous reciters of the Quran, which shows that there is something in the Noble Book of Quran which cannot be found in any other book. The fact that people, just by listening to the Noble Book of Quran, they feel a kind of a spiritual experience, so much so that they convert to the religion of Islam. But as for some people who may say that we do not see such an effect, there are some points. First of all, one point that is mentioned by the scholars is that the people should know the greatness of the Quran. We should know that this is the how holy is the book that we are reciting. So we need to read about the greatness of Quran, and that will have an effect in, I mean, at the time that we are reciting the Quran. This is one point. The second point is having ikhlas and sincerity. I mean, this is clear. The third point is to do isti'adha. These are some of the ways mentioned by great scholars like Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi, to take refuge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the Satan before reciting the Quran. Presence of mind and heart. This is a very important point. So many people just read quickly and recite quickly the Noble Book of Quran without the presence of mind. So although even according to the scholars, that recitation may bring some positive effects, but not the ideal ones. So if you're looking for the spiritual effects of the Noble Book of Quran, you need to have the presence of heart, presence of mind. You need to know that these are the words of God. This is the only book whose words are revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this cannot be found in any, even a scripture, any other holy book. Contemplation is another factor. As I mentioned, people need to think and ponder over the verses. And the other point, as mentioned by Imam Khomeini, is tatbiq, which means that when you ponder over the verses of the Quran, then you need to apply them to your own life. I mean, when Quran is talking about the bad people, you need to see if you have the same features or not. If you are suffering from those problems, you need to make efforts to get rid of them, and so on and so forth. The other point that may help the people is to recite the Quran with a beautiful sound and a sad voice and sound. This is mentioned in the Noble Book of Quran that Quran should be recited in a beautiful voice together and accompanied by a sadness. And this is what we see in the recitation of the famous reciters of the Quran. That they, when they recite the Quran, they have such a beautiful voice accompanied with a kind of sadness. And the last point that I would like to share is that when it comes to the effects of the Noble Book of Quran, we have some scientific researchers done by many people. For example, in one research, they have studied the effect of the Quran sound on brain and heart signals. They have brought some, people, they have checked the signals coming from their brain and heart, some of them at the time of recitation of the Quran and others without recitation of the Quran, and they have found many great effect for recitation of the Quran, even for the signals coming from the brain and heart. And I think nowadays no one can deny such an effect from the Noble Book of Quran.
That's all right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Karimi, for a nice elaboration about the positive effects of listening to the Holy Quran and the soothing effects that the Holy Quran might have on our spirituality, mentality, and even body. It was very kind of you.
My pleasure.
And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanillah.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي وحسين وحسن. حسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن
يوسف جلالي بتهران
روباشافت غازا
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Said Pureza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Said Amin Olemi, Kabul.
Shahanabad, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
After 5 weeks of shocking war crimes, official Western pressure is finally mounting on Tel Aviv. French President Emmanuel Macron admitted in an interview that Israel's actions have, quote, no legitimacy. He added, quote, these babies, these ladies, these old people are bombed and killed, so there is no reason for that. So we do urge Israel to stop. Citizen pressure on Tel Aviv continues with marches worldwide, with over 10,000 marching across Paris.
Macron has to finally extend actual support to the Palestinians and force Israel to accept a ceasefire. This is an attempt at genocide and there are children dying every day.
The deliberate targeting of civilians has left over 11,000 Palestinians murdered, which is more dead civilians in 1 month than in over 1.5 years of Russia's special military operation in Ukraine. Many say that Israel's 75-year-long brutality, repression, and human rights violations are out in the open like never before, and that things will never be the same.
Global opinion has changed because all these videos on Twitter and Instagram make it crystal clear who the aggressor is. And the double standard with Ukraine is also obvious. The French government constantly cried that this was a scandal, but then they remained silent as Gazans die day and night.
Israel has increased their bombing and murder in Lebanon, further sparking the possibility of a major multinational war.
As Lebanese, firstly, we're concerned by the crisis that's happening in Gaza, because Lebanon was previously occupied by Israel. In 1982, Beirut was the second Arab capital occupied by Israel. And so we've had the bitter taste of occupation before by the Israelis. Currently, south of Lebanon is under attack by Israel. This conflict can turn into a regional conflict with Hezbollah getting involved, Israel instigating Lebanese parties, the Syrians, the Iranians, the Yemenis into this conflict.
This week, at the first Western-hosted summit on Palestine, Macron said the clear conclusion was that, quote, there is no other solution than a humanitarian pause and then going on to a ceasefire, end quote. Marchers here hope that Washington and Tel Aviv listen to the sound of the global chorus. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
Tens of thousands of people have marched through the streets of Cape Town to the office of the provincial administration. They have called on the South African government to support the oppressed Palestinians. The government has downgraded ties with Israel, but protesters want a complete severing of relations.
The West continuously put the narrative through Hamas terrorist group. Hamas is a resistance group for the liberation. In South Africa, when we fought against the apartheid regime, we were called liberators. We were supported when we fought against the apartheid regime. When they do it, when Hamas do it, they call them terrorists.
The march was organized by a broad coalition of organizations, including religious bodies, Jewish groups, political parties, including the ruling ANC, and trade unions. South Africa's government has withdrawn its diplomatic staff from Tel Aviv, but it still plays host to the Israeli ambassador, something people here are not happy with.
This has been described as the mother of all marches. It is probably the biggest demonstration that South Africa has hosted since the outbreak of the latest violence in occupied Palestine. Protesters say they will continue to come out onto the streets until the South African government takes decisive steps to expel the Israeli ambassador.
People must pressure government into action at times. This is but one of those pressures. Capetonians have shown that they are with the people of Palestine. Their government must take another step further. The government of the ANC must do that.
But even with the inaction of politicians, and while South Africa's Christian party, the ACDP, standing fully behind Israel, increasingly those who follow the faith are seeing for themselves how the Bible is being abused.
The God that I pray to would never condone what is going on in Palestine, and that's why we're here today, to show our support. How do you feel as a Christian?
This was the reaction of these women when I asked about the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's use of biblical scripture to justify the massacres.
I think when it comes to the Bible, I mean, we live by our teachings, but it can be, anyone can take the Bible and twist what God's word says into what they want it to mean. And I think that's exactly what's happening with Netanyahu. I mean, he's basically doing what he wants and trying to justify it by twisting what the scriptures say.
The protests are growing bigger and more diverse. For every Palestinian the American-backed Israeli war machine kills, another voice rises against it. Hassan Sirip, Cape Town.
In a passionate display of unity, people from diverse backgrounds gathered at the rally in a powerful show of solidarity with Palestine. The crowd, carrying Palestinian flags and banners, voiced their condemnation of the actions taken by Israel and the United States, demanding justice and equality for the people of Palestine.
The percentage of children who have died in this conflict is more than that who have died in 2 years of Ukraine conflict. It itself shows that actually it's not a war, it's a genocide going on. They are intentionally killing civilians, they are intentionally killing children. 30% or more are actually women.
Speakers at the rally passionately articulated the need for a peaceful resolution to the long-standing conflict and called for an end to the oppression faced by the Palestinian people.
1400 years ago, what happened in Karbala, you are repeating that. My message to Israel is, stop being a genocide, be a human, face the reality. My question is to the United Nations, if it happens somewhere in Europe, how would they react?
Participants expressed their commitment to raising awareness about the plight of Palestinians, highlighting the urgency of finding a just and lasting solution to the conflict.
We cannot turn a blind eye to the relentless oppression unfolding in Palestine. We must bear witness to the suffering of the Palestinian people who face not just physical, but emotional and psychological scars.
Similar rallies were held in various cities of the country with a sense of determination and hope as participants pledged to continue their advocacy for the rights of the Palestinian people.
Expressions of solidarity with the oppressed Palestinians during these rallies not only signify a rejection of Israel's atrocities, but also serve as a platform for Pakistanis to voice their discontent with the international community's response to the crisis in Gaza. Nasik Azmi, Press TV, Islamabad.
Those were the
Organizers said it was going to be big, and they were right. Hundreds of thousands of people showing solidarity with Palestine and united in one thing.
A ceasefire. Stop the genocide, because that's what's happening. We can all see it.
We need to speak up. The world needs to wake up and speak up. This is not okay. This is genocide, and not in our name. That's why we're here today. Not in our name.
It's the biggest march since the Israeli onslaught on Gaza commenced, with hundreds of thousands of people walking hours to the American Embassy in London, to condemn U.S. support for the Israeli regime. The protest was organized by Palestinian support groups, Muslim organizations, and peace movements. People of all faiths and no faith, some all the way from Northern Ireland, angry with decades of Israel's brutal military occupation in the occupied territories. Anger at the British government, too, for cracking down on these demonstrations, describing them as hate marches and pro-Palestine mobs.
In the run-up to today's march, the UK's right-wing interior minister, Sueli Braverman, tried to get the police to cancel it because it coincides with Armistice Day, commemorating the end of the First World War, a move campaigners and organizers have described as a crackdown on freedom of speech.
Previously, she asked police to make a call on whether even waving a Palestinian flag constituted a racially aggravated offense. Today, as in previous rallies, a forest of Palestinian flags. More than anything, today's march, which harks back to the mass demonstration before the 2003 U.S.-led illegal invasion of Iraq, is aimed at pushing the British state, which during the First World War publicly promised a national home for the Jewish people in its controversial 1917 Balfour Declaration, to pressure Israel to cease its brutal shelling of Gaza. Saeed Pourreza, London.
The Supreme Follow-up Committee of the Palestinian Revolutionary Factions organized a major protest in Yarmouk camp on Friday to support the resistance and condemn the massacre committed by the Israeli regime against defenseless civilians in Gaza.
We assure our people in Gaza that we stand with them resiliently, sharing their wounds and pain. We tell the occupying entity that we will liberate Al-Aqsa Mosque and meet our people in Palestine. We pledge to the resistance front to pray in Al-Quds.
The defeated Israeli occupation is taking revenge by killing children and women and historically destroying humanity.
We, the Islamic Jihad Al-Quds Brigades abroad, vote in terror Palestine and liberate it, as we promised to eliminate Israel.
With unbridled fury, demonstrators burned the Israeli flag, confirming that the resilient resistance front has proven that American threats no longer intimidate anyone, and vowed to defend Palestine with their lives until liberation.
As the Palestinian resistance and Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah have stated, let America come. So we will fight our main and fundamental enemy. We are not afraid of America's intimidations, as it is more cowardly than waging a war.
We call on everyone and every country capable of doing anything to imagine their children thirsty, dismembered, lying in a hospital or buried under rubble.
Protesters called on international community to assume its human responsibility by ending the brutal Israeli aggression on Gaza and lifting the siege imposed on its people. Syrians and Palestinians gathered today to tell the world that Palestine is a beacon that will never fade, and the people of Gaza will never capitulate despite the tremendous Western support for the Israeli atrocities committed against them. Ibrahim Wahdi, Damascus.
Crowds of Yemenis took to the streets of the capital Sana'a after Friday prayers to reaffirm their solidarity with Palestinians and to condemn the brutal Israeli aggression on besieged Gaza Strip. Israel's bombardment of Gaza, which started over a month ago, has claimed the lives of more than 11,000 Palestinians, most of whom women and children.
We came out today to express our support for the Palestinian resistance fighters and to show our solidarity with Palestinian civilians who are being killed by all types of Israeli weapons.
My message to the Arab leaders who have normalized ties with Israel: you will suffer great consequences from your people and from the entire Muslim world.
The participants in the Friday demonstration also expressed their support for the Yemeni army's latest missile and drone attacks, which targeted the city of Eilat in the south of occupied Palestine and forced Israeli schools to close temporarily.
We indeed fired our cruise and ballistic missiles at Tel Aviv and Eilat, and they reached their targets. We also shot down a U.S. spy drone over Yemen's territorial waters. The Americans initially denied this, but we proved that to the world and released that video, which forced them to later admit the truth.
The speeches delivered at the rally stressed that it is a religious duty for Yemen's armed forces to continue targeting the Israeli entity, despite any consequences Yemen may face. As long as Yemen defies U.S. and continues to launch attacks against Israel, there is a high possibility that Yemen could soon be targeted by Israeli and American fighter jets. But according to Abdel Malik al-Houthi, the leader of Yemen's revolution movement, Yemen will be ready at the time. As the Yemeni military spokesperson has confirmed, Yemen will continue to launch drone and ballistic missiles towards Israel until a ceasefire is reached. The Yemeni army is also considering targeting Western military warships that are currently patrolling in the Red Sea. Yusuf Mawdi, Sana'a.
In South Korea, rallies and marches in support of Palestine have added pressure to the U.S. to get Israel to end its military campaign in Gaza. But U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken in Japan and South Korea this week repeated remarks that contradict the realities of Israel's military bombardment and invasion of Gaza.
It is imperative that the Palestinian people be central to governance in Gaza and in the West Bank as well, and that, again, we don't see a reoccupation. And what I've heard from Israeli leaders is that they have no intent to reoccupy Gaza and retake control of Gaza.
Unlike the U.S., South Korea has not offered unconditional support for Israel as it seeks to maintain good relations and trade with its many Middle Eastern partners. Activists argue leaders must do more to rein in Israel's attack on Gaza.
How you can let this happen? Where is your dignity? Where is your honor? Where is your stand for the rights? I'm not standing for the religion. What's happening in Palestine is not about religion. It's not about Islam. They bomb churches. They bomb mosques. They kill babies, Muslims, Christians. No matter what religion, they just kill. And this is exactly what is the definition of terrorism.
Social media has been instrumental in spreading awareness of the disproportionate Israeli attacks. At each demonstration in Seoul, local Korean activists and supporters of Palestine join residents from all over the world, the U.S., the Middle East, and elsewhere, as the voices demanding a ceasefire grow.
As criticism is heaped on the U.S. over its blanket support of Israel, American officials say they're trying to encourage Tel Aviv to limit civilian casualties. Meanwhile, the Biden administration seeks a further $14 billion in military aid for Tel Aviv that many suggest might be used for more Israeli war crimes. Frank Smith, Seoul.
The Iranian embassy in Damascus organized a consultative meeting entitled Israel on the Slope of Fall to discuss the most important repercussions of the Hamas-led Al-Aqsa Float operation against Israel. The Iranian ambassador has expressed his absolute confidence in the victory of the resistance.
The Zionist entity in America were defeated by the resistance in Syria, especially that more than 80 countries got involved and failed. Likewise, the entire Western world waged a battle against Yemen and failed. Victory today is in the hands of the resistance axis.
The Palestinian resistance has proven that it is capable of facing challenges. The Al-Aqsa flood operation is considered a tsunami in military thinking, a marvel in field performance, and a fundamental foundation upon which much can be built in a scientific, objective, and logical manner.
Analysts and experts confirmed that the Al-Aqsa flood operation is a historic military epic that imposed a new reality on the Israeli entity and will lead to its demise and the expulsion of the American forces from the region.
As leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said, the pure blood of martyr Qasem Soleimani demands the complete expulsion of the Americans from the region.
No regional and Arab country will be able to pressure the resistance to release the prisoners without paying the price.
Participants emphasized the importance of preserving the outcomes of this achievement and consecrating it as a significant victory that signifies a new milestone in the course of the conflict. Despite any debates over what happened on October the 7th, everyone agrees that Palestinian resistance has destroyed the myth of the invincible Israeli army and that Al-Aqsa Front operation has initiated the countdown to the end of Israel. Ibrahim Wahdi, Damascus.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us.
واقعیت زندگی
and try to apply them to our daily lives.
چجوری ممکنه؟
How is it possible?
از راه قرآن
by means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step brothers not the last one
هو الذی ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودین
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth that he may make it prevail over all religions though the polytheists should be averse
والذي ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد موسیقی خاصی دارد روش خاصی دارد
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
نقيم الدين ولا تتفرقوا فيه.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran, Quran.
In the limelight.
As the Zionist settlers and forces kill Palestinians with impunity, the Israeli regime is intensifying Palestinians' physical and social repression. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Middle East Eye wrote, while the world is preoccupied with the fierce Israeli regime war on Gaza, there is less interest in what is happening in the occupied West Bank. This is understandable and natural, given the large scale of destruction and killing in the Gaza Strip. The West Bank and Gaza were occupied by the Israeli regime in 1967, according to the United Nations and the international community, both territories were supposed to form a single political entity, the foundation of Palestinian state as part of the so-called two-state solution. But reality has not gone in this direction. Gaza, completely separated from the occupied West Bank since 2005, has endured a comprehensive Israeli regime siege and five wars, during which thousands of Palestinians have been killed. Meanwhile, the occupied West Bank is suffering from illegal settlement expansion that is devouring Palestinian private lands. Around 700,000 settlers live in approximately 150 settlements and 128 outposts, and this number constantly increases. These settlers, who have become widely represented in the Israeli Knesset and were recently handed weapons by the government, are soldiers in civilian clothes. Some have formed armed militias to kill Palestinians under the pretext of maintaining security. Across the occupied West Bank, Palestinians suffered greatly from the Israeli occupation before October 7th, and their suffering has only intensified since then. In the village of Khosra, settlers, under the protection of the Israeli regime army, killed four Palestinians last month. Settlers also killed a farmer in the village of Al-Sawiya while he was picking olives on his land in front of his wife and children. Also last month, in Deir Estia, settlers attacked Palestinian olive pickers and distributed leaflets warning them to leave for Jordan or risk being annihilated in a second Nakba. Every year, Zionist settlers attack Palestinian farmers during the olive harvest season. This is the most important agricultural season for Palestinians. Palestinians greatly depend on it for their livelihood. Zionist settlers often burn trees, steal crops, attack farmers, and seize land with no accountability or punishment. Rather, they enjoy the support and protection of the occupying army. This year witnessed the peak of such attacks. Under the pretext of retaliation for the October 7th attack, Palestinians in areas near settlements and main streets have been prevented from harvesting their olives. The Zionist regime's extremist finance minister, Bezalel Smotrich, has called on the government to create buffer zones free of Palestinians around the settlements and to prevent Palestinians from picking olives in these areas. Israeli regime authorities have also cut off water to Palestinian residential communities, while neighboring settlements enjoy water 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Before October 7th, Israeli regime forces had killed around 200 Palestinians in the occupied West Bank since the start of this year, 2023, and more than 170 others have been killed since that date. The Zionist regime forces have invaded the cities of Jenin, Tul Karm, Nablus, and Ariha, destroying infrastructure under the pretext of searching for wanted persons. Israeli regime also maintains severe restrictions on freedom of movement for Palestinians with 700 road obstacles and checkpoints across the occupied West Bank. The Zionist regime forces have locked up neighborhoods with iron gates while giving Zionist settlers total freedom of movement across the territory. Palestinians are not allowed to enter the settlements established on their stolen lands, as they are surrounded by fences, barbed wire, and strict security measures. And while Palestinians live in the same geographical area, the laws and legal procedures for Palestinians and settlers differ. Israeli civil and criminal law applies for settlers, while Palestinians face a military court system. According to reports, before October 7th, more than 5,000 Palestinians, including children and women, were being held in Israeli regime prisons, including hundreds in administrative detention, without charge or trial. Since October 7th, That is within just 1 month. More than 2,000 others have been arrested across the occupied West Bank. Arrests are often made after violent raids, and many prisoners say they have been tortured and abused in Israeli regime custody. The Zionist regime is also cracking down on pro-Palestinian online posts, aided by social media companies that have restricted and blocked content supportive of Palestine. At the same time, Palestinians followed in astonishment the collusion of Western regimes with the Zionist regime in its crimes against Palestinians. They feel frustrated by Western double standards on human values and freedom, as evidenced by the glaring difference in their responses to Ukrainians versus Palestinians. Palestinians are disgusted by hypocritical Western rhetoric about civilians and human rights. Western officials loudly denounce the killing of Israelis while trumpeting Israel's right to defend itself. Yet, they appear largely indifferent to the thousands of innocent Palestinians who have been killed by Israeli regime forces in Gaza and the occupied West Bank. The ongoing killing and displacement of Palestinians will not bring peace to the region. It will do the opposite, serving only to intensify the conflict. It is an illusion to believe that peace can be achieved without justice. The only way to resolve the conflict is through a political solution that ends the occupation and holds war criminals accountable.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamite.
Islamite.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners from all around the world. Welcome back to IRB English Radio. You're listening to You Station. I am Beaten. Here with me, there is my co-host.
This is Sayyid Mustafa, and I'm happy to be here.
Today, I was reading a story on social media. When we see a tree of fruits, there are some really the sweetest fruits on the ground. And, you know, we are looking for the fruits that are on top of the tree.
I see.
You know, which are green, which are still sour, which are still bitter.
Sure.
And this is exactly the same way we are looking at the world. You know, we have some people in our lives that they're always there for us. They have their full attention for us. They're way too kind with us. But we are still looking for someone else.
I see.
Yeah. And this is really sad, I think. And they don't like kind of deserve it. They ignore you because being too kind.
It's an interesting topic. And
it is.
Yeah, yeah. I think everything should come with a balance, right? And although there are some things where, yes, you can sort of say you can be too much of that, and being too kind or being too nice can be very good, and it can also actually cause harm, I think.
My classmates,
yeah.
You know, I was way too kind with them. I was helping them with lessons and so many other things. And one day that, for example, I was absent because of a disease, you know, they weren't there for me. They were like, okay, you were absent. It's your problem. And, you know, this is just a little example of this actual catastrophe that we were facing.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, example that I can give, for example, is it's a much sort of harsher one, I would say, from real life, in the sense that people can scam you many times, right? If you trust someone too much, right? I've been in that situation, and I know almost Actually, almost anyone that I've spoken to, they will tell me that they've been scammed in their life whenever they've tried, for example, to do business with someone, right? So yeah, it can be harmful if you're like too trusting of someone.
For sure it can. But brother, you know, it's not always about the people out of your own family. Sometimes it's about your own father and mother, your own children. What do you think about these situations that you are dealing with your own children and you're being way too kind, or you are being, I don't know, you're paying too much attention to them, but you don't feel like you are being appreciated?
In that situation, I would say you shouldn't have expectations. If you're being too kind and generous and nice, then that's a very good thing. Even if the other person isn't returning the sort of same feelings or it's not mutual, I would still say it's a positive thing when we're talking about family and parents and children. Why? Why do I say that?
Yeah.
So this is something that I've been studying, you know, in psychology, and we talk about, when you're in a family, in your household, we say you should have red lines in your household. And the red line is love and respect, okay? No matter what happens, no matter what your kids do, for example, as a parent, you don't want to cross those red lines. We're not saying that you let your kids do whatever they want. And, you know, we're saying, let's say if your kid is something doing wrong, you're not going to use anger as a method to deal with them. So you have to come, you have to present yourself in a kind, nice, respectful manner towards your children.
Really
and
interesting. And I think the key word up to here is this balance that you have to maintain it in every part of your life. And to keep the balance, let's go for a break for you to take a short rest.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
So, brother, talking about the matter of being way too kind or paying too much attention to someone, we get to this point that sometimes we are dealing with this problem with our own family, that you mentioned some really interesting facts about this problem. And, you know, I think there is a stage for some people in their life that, you know, they were really kind, they were really nice. But after so many repetitive failure communication with other people, they felt like that's enough. I cannot take it anymore.
Yeah.
Every time I'm being too much kind to someone, returning this kindness with, I don't know, it is all bad things. And there is a point that you don't want to be like that anymore.
Yeah. So we were saying there needs to be a balance in that, and being too kind or nice doesn't mean you let other people walk over you or you let other people take your rights away from you. What it really means is that when you're behaving with others, you're behaving in a positive and a nice manner.
Yeah.
Right? When you're being kind, that's what we were trying to say. And there's no harm in that unless this person in front of you is not a good person, right? Let's say they're an arrogant person, should you be really, really nice to them? Probably not. You should not be too nice to an arrogant person because that will make them even more arrogant. So you have to look at the person that you're dealing with in a realistic manner, I would say, right?
Me, myself, I was always having this point of view that there is a really subtle and delicate line between being way too kind and being a naive person. Hmm. Sometimes this naivety is a kind of clue for this bad person, this kind of the people that only want to take advantage from you. There is a clue for them to abuse you, to use you in their own way. And these are the times that you have to control yourself. So I think sometimes you may not be that balanced in your life, but the least thing that I can do in this situation is to understand, is to actually consider the person in front of you. What kind of person is that?
Right.
Is it a person that deserved to be too way too kind with that or not? So
I do believe, though, we should always deal with people with respect, right?
Yeah, respect is really important.
Yeah, even if you're dealing with a difficult person, you want to be respectful towards them. What do I mean by that? To give you an example, let's say I was traveling in a taxi the other day, right? And then the taxi driver, he wanted like double or triple the charge.
Why?
Because he thought I was a foreigner and he can
yeah,
ask
Yeah, they're
me,
like that.
He can ask me for that. Okay? I had to be pretty harsh with him and strict with him, but I was still respectful. Like, I didn't use rude language, for example. You know, I didn't swear at him. And I just told him my case. That's what I mean, that we don't... Being kind doesn't necessarily mean that you allow the other person to get away with things, but it also doesn't mean that on the opposite side, they become rude and that you lose, you know...
I get it.
Yeah, you have to sort of have that balance in middle ground. But coming back to, like, when we're talking about family, by the way, one thing I want to mention about balance is sometimes when we're too kind, we can be too nice towards one member of the family, right? Oh. And ignore the other, for example.
Oh, this discrimination that happens between siblings.
Yeah. Right? So that, and again, you need the balance. If you're going to be kind, you want to be kind to the whole family, not just like one person or one kid or just your wife and not your kids, for example.
Yeah. I do agree with that one because I'm the biggest child of the family. So yeah, I'm always discriminated. I'm always like ignored and neglected and I want to nag. But let's skip it here. You know, I do agree with that point that you have to keep the balance. It doesn't matter about the extent of being kind and the kindness itself, but also the balance between the kindness you're sharing between these people, specifically in your family.
Yeah.
And so up to here, we get to this point of balance. And after a break, we're going to talk more about the methods that we can actually improve and develop this balance in our life. Welcome back to your station, dear listeners. We're here again and talking about the methods and that we have to use an approach to have a balanced life.
Yeah.
What do you suggest?
I think that Islam has some very, very good guidelines for us in this area about how to bring about that balance, about how to behave. And part of that is just understanding. Here I would say is really understanding each person's needs and what stage of life they're in, for example, can be critical. What do I mean by that? If you're talking about the family, right? And let's say you said you're the oldest, right? How old are your younger siblings?
She's 12.
So now when we talk about 12-year-old, right? They're teenagers, right? She just entered sort of that teenage year. They have their own needs in that age.
She wants to kill me.
I'm saying like the needs of a 12-year-old are different from the needs of a 5 or 6-year-old or from a 20-year-old, right? So you have to recognize each person's needs, what stage of life they're in, and then your behavior should reflect that, right? To give you a very clear example maybe of that, let's say you have a 5 or 6-year-old that is misbehaving, right? Let's say they're swearing, they come home and they're picking their nose or they're doing... What do you think you should do in that situation?
I'm not a mother.
I know you're not a mother. Yeah. I'm just saying, let's say it's your sister, your younger sister. What would you do? What do you think you should do in that? As an older sister, how should you deal with your younger
sister? It's a bit difficult because if I want to fight with her, it's not going to go through a nice way. And it will lead to kind of bad consequences, you know. And she will do it more and more and more to just make me more angry and furious. So I just want to keep the balance and talk to her. Like the thing that you're doing.
Surprise you to know that your first reaction should be to completely ignore that behavior?
Really?
Yeah.
I cannot ignore it. I'm not that kind of person.
So even as parent, this is especially true for parents, I would say, but definitely for siblings as well, if you have younger siblings, is that if you have a child which is less than 7 years old, you have to ignore a lot of their behavior at the beginning. If they learn something new, like let's say they come home from school, and you want to ignore that behavior.
Yeah.
And you want to ignore for a few weeks because they say usually the child will forget doing that. When you remind them or you tell them, hey, you shouldn't do this, this is bad, it becomes something important for them. So this is actually, I don't have enough time to actually talk about just this specific topic, but I wanted to bring it as an example of where you have to recognize the child's needs. And that will modify your behavior and how you want to deal with them.
Yeah.
And for that, you need knowledge and expertise. on how to deal with people in that age.
For example, the example that you mentioned was really interesting because it was talking about the ignorance that you have to show towards some behaviors. Because the more you pay attention to them, the more they feel like they have to repeat it again and again to have your attention, you know?
Right.
And this is exactly the same even in the communication of adult people. It's like sometimes you shouldn't try to remind your existence to that people. Always like texting them, yeah. talking on the phone with them. And I don't know, you don't need to do that. Sometimes being there for them in a really tough time can be enough for them to always remember you, to always have you in their lives. And, you know, so the combination of this being there, kindness and existence of you in your communications and relationships, and you're not being there. Sometimes you should just leave them alone, okay? And this is the combination of these two together as a balance thing is the key.
Another example that I can actually think of, which is related to parents. In the Quran, we have a verse, which is a very famous verse, you know, which says you shouldn't even say "uff" to your parents, right?
It is really famous.
That verse, it's very interesting that God specifically says when your parents reach old age, do not say "uff" to them, okay?
Yeah.
God says when they reach old age. He doesn't say in general, like, never say "uff" to your parents, right? He very specifically says when they're in their old age. Why does he say that? I have old parents myself and I'm dealing with them, you know, I deal with them. Again, it's coming back to the needs of an old person are different from the needs of a young person. The way an old person behaves or thinks is now different from the way, like, maybe the way I behave and think. And that's why we're told we have to be much more patient with older people because they're not necessarily the same way we are. It's the same with kids who are younger than us. So being very nice, again, depends on the situation, depends on what you're dealing with.
Thank you, brother. So to wrap up the conversation up to here, we talked about the point that you have to maintain the balance in your communications. And one of the most important things that you have to do is to understand and recognize the need of those people that you are communicating with.
Yeah.
When you recognize the need, then you can understand the extent that you have to be kind, you have to be there for them, and all of these things that we are discussing. Thank you, dear listeners. I hope this episode was useful for you. That was all the time we have for today's episode. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I will tell you, dear youth, that the future belongs to you. By Allah's favor, you, dear youth, will see that day and you will hand down your sources of pride to the future generations. Greetings, be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessings.
And inshallah, we will continue talking about this.
We'll discuss that, inshallah, in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum wa
rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And don't go away.
We will continue this very essential topic with our great youth.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Latif, Ya Latif, Ya Latif, Ya Latif, Ya Latif, Ya Latif, Ya Latif.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Headlines this hour. The latest barrage of Israeli attacks on the Gaza Strip killed dozens more Palestinians. Women and children remain the main victims of the 39-day onslaught by the regime. The Palestinian Health Ministry in Gaza warns that they need urgent access to medical supplies or all hospitals will become dysfunctional in 48 hours. And the Israeli military kills 8